What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Ronnie Sullivan's fastest one was just
freaking crazy. It's on YouTube. That's like I think it's like 11 minutes, isn't it, or something?
I've seen them actually when they put the maximums at the Crucible, sort of side by each, like all the maximums in, in time. Then Cliff's like right at the end, just like just lagging there. He's still going.
That's amazing. Really, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you should look it up. It's really cool.
Remember when they put Screech in against Horshack?
And he won.
Well, he won against Horshack. He was 55, 60 years old, and he was about, like, Screech is about 6'2".
Yeah, just like 140 pounds.
Yeah, Ron Palillo, who played Horshack, was 5'2", 60 years old, 55 years old.
So he fought Squiggy?
Screech.
Oh, Screech. I thought he made a Squiggy up.
And then Screech Powers.
Laverne and Shirley.
No, Screech. But almost. Horshack was from... You remember Horshack?
Yeah, welcome back.
Carter. Welcome back. He fought Screech, who was from
welcome
Who's the Bell?
Back.
From Who's the Bell? Or remember that kid's show?
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. Who's the Bell? Who's the boss?
The Bell? Who's the Bell End?
Who's the Bell End? Screech was. And he's dead now, right? Screech died.
Anyone. He's dead, and he also, I think he went to jail for like
stabbing some dude murder, in a bar.
Yeah. Or like attempted murder, whatever.
Yeah. Assault. And then he died. You know, these guys, these kid celebrities, they don't know how to do it.
This YouTube guy, though, he beat Nate Robinson. Remember the NBA player?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That fight was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Nate Robinson is a great athlete, right?
Yeah.
Comes out.
Foot six.
He literally, he's windmilling. He can't fight. He has no idea what he's doing. He hasn't got a clue. It's the most ridiculous fight. And this freaking clown.
Is that what this fight's looking like right now?
No, they can both fight, actually. They can fight. He's not bad, this Jake Paul guy, but he's not. I mean, this Fury beat him on points.
You know, Jimmy's not on right now because he's watching this thing.
I know. Jimmy put a lot of money on Jake Paul, I think.
Yeah.
It was like $50 for the fight, wasn't it? It's like watching two fucking bums.
Yeah.
What does the world come to? They're actually talking about if Paul wins this, he would actually be ranked, get a world ranking. It's like,
well, he'd be 9-0, right? He's not. He's 8-1. They're both unbeaten.
He hasn't fought a professional yet.
I know. He has now. And he lost.
Did he?
Yeah. Like, well, Tommy Fury's a pro. They're both pros, right? But Tommy Fury comes from good lineage, right? His half brother's Tyson.
Well, I know Fury. That. Who gives a shit?
I know. But no, but you watch him. I mean, he can box, this guy. Yeah. But he's not going to be a world champion by any stretch.
He's not a cruiserweight.
Craig, who would you box? Former teammate or former former adversary? Who is on your list to have a punch with?
That's a good question.
Yeah. That's how we're starting the podcast. Who'd you have a punch out with?
I never really thought about that.
Well, you have.
I'm a lover, not a hater, or Wonger.
Yeah.
In the ring. like rules, gloves. You got three rounds. You got to pick someone to fight. Not like a street fight, right? But a legitimate, organized bout.
Mike Tyson.
Because you want to wake up next Thursday.
How about that asshole on the plane that kept taunting him?
Yeah, oh, love yeah. that. He just fed
That's
him.
That's the guy you want to... Yeah, that'd be a good guy.
And then, and nobody... It was one of those things, you know, normally it would be, you know, like there's some... People have a go at Mike Tyson and whatever, but people that saw that video is like, yeah, fucking rinse that guy out.
Absolutely. 100%. And Tyson wasn't charged, right, for that?
No, because the guy was embarrassed.
Well, no, he also, he assaulted him with, like, he threw a water bottle at him. That's what, that was the final trigger.
How do you throw a water bottle at Mike Tyson, one? How do you throw a water bottle at Mike Tyson when you're confined in a small space? And three, how do you throw a water bottle at Mike Tyson when you're miles above the earth, knowing that the only way out is through the toilet?
It's a good question. Well, good questions, actually. Yeah. I mean, how drunk, though, must he be? So you're, say you hate Mike Tyson. I don't care. You know, you didn't like him, you know, for whatever reason. And you saw him on a plane, right? So you can't run. Why would you antagonize, of all the people in the world, why antagonize Iron Mike Tyson?
Yeah, and he looked over at his mate who was filming. He's like, I think he's pissed. He's like, fucking yes.
Was that his mate that was filming or was just another person?
Well, I don't know, but it just seemed like he knew him almost like he was
kind of. Oh, no, I think it was like just another person. I think the guy was alone and drunk.
Really?
Yeah, and the other guy was like when he was talking to him, it was, you know, hey, he's got another comrade in this. In this thing where he's belligerent towards antagonizing Mike Tyson, which sounds just stupid.
Oh, here he comes. Here he is.
Yeah, what a fight, like, Jimmy. Wasn't it worth it?
$50.
What a fight.
Are your brothers up at your place? We were wondering, you didn't pay $50 by yourself to do this.
Me and Phoenix, we watched it. My brothers are actually downtown watching it together.
Oh, okay. But it was a family affair? Like, you all had to watch it?
Yeah, it wasn't like I sat there by myself and watched it.
Why wouldn't you guys watch an actual boxing? Like, watch proper boxing?
Well, it's just the whole hype, right?
That's the thing, right? I mean, nowadays, like Jimmy,
and all that.
It's true, right? I mean, nowadays, people don't really appreciate true boxers, right? You'd rather watch two celebrities scrap than two boxers, right? Let's be honest here. Think about it. The average sports fan, the average fan out there, you know, wouldn't watch, you know, some, you know, welterweight bout between two guys who aren't quite contenders but might be, because it's so technical. They'd rather watch two idiots who aren't trained very well go at it in a squared ring.
Yeah. That's where we are today, Sharms. This whole Instagram, YouTube. I get sucked into it. I'm a boxing fan. I like boxing.
Oh, well, Craig can't get.
Why I'm asking? Why the fuck would you watch that?
Plus, I want to see Jake Paul get knocked out.
Yeah, me too. Really badly.
I was hoping Tommy Fury was just going to beat the shit out of him, and just shut him up. But
Craig can't get into the social and watch it anyways because his internet's not strong enough.
Yeah, there's no way Craig could do it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool, though. At the moment.
It is cool, though. You see Tommy Fury come into the ring, right? And as part of his entourage, he's got Tyson Fury, maybe one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. I like that.
Well, you know what's going to happen now? There's going to be a rematch, right?
You think you're going to get sucked in again for $70.
Did you see the interview with his brother, Logan Paul? Jimmy, you saw that, right?
Yeah.
So I think between the second and third round, Logan Paul, who is he's also a boxer, isn't he?
Yeah, he boxed.
He's in WWE, though.
Hold on. Sorry to interrupt. There's two. I thought they were the same guy.
No,
two. Jake Paul and Logan Paul.
They're two different guys.
Yeah. They're brothers.
So Logan Paul's being interviewed, right? Caught ringside between the second and third round. And it's over the speakers in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, the fight's in Saudi Arabia, by the way.
Of course it is.
So the whole crowd can hear it. And he goes, oh, and by the way, Tommy, if you can hear me, you're a bitch. Yeah, you're a bitch. Your whole family's bitches. It's like, oh, my God. This is getting more and more like WWE. That went a little too far.
Listen, let me tell you something. If if the big Fury was in front of him, he wouldn't be saying that, would he?
No, he wouldn't be saying that. Exactly.
If he was standing in front of him, he wouldn't say boo.
I will give his brother kudos on the WWE stuff because he's been lights out good. If you like that kind of thing, like the Royal Rumble finish, have a look at the finale of that. Pretty impressive. What it is.
Who was in it? Sorry, Logan Paul or Tyson Fury?
Logan.
Oh, Logan was in that.
He's in WWE right now.
Okay.
So hold on a minute.
He's good.
You're giving me shit because I just watched this fight now, and you're telling me about WWE and his brother that fought in it, and he's very good?
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw the highlight of
the
fight.
You didn't pay for it is the other thing.
At least you know it's fake. You're watching this, and this was like, what the fuck?
Hey, like, Jimmy, want to pose a question before you go on. If you could fight anyone in the ring, anyone in the world, who would it be? Craig said Mike Tyson. He wants to fight Mike Tyson.
What, just run around the ring, let him chase you for,
for 3 minutes? Oh, man, I'd be ducking and diving. And let me. It would be fun during the, like, in his prime, like, see, like, just see how long he can stay away, Jimmy.
Before he puts you to sleep?
10 seconds. I'm saying 10 seconds.
How long do you think you would last in that ring with Mike Tyson?
10 seconds.
10 seconds? Oh,
I don't know. I think I might be able to drop the shoulder a couple times, Sharms.
Maybe. Like, just kind of like, your head fake him. You wouldn't head fake him.
I mean, no, I'd drop the shoulder and I'd run to the other corner and I'd be like,
okay. Like, do you think you could take one punch off of Tyson?
Body shot.
Body shot, at least. Body shot.
No way. Not a good one. If he was like full melted you in the guts, no.
Maybe a jab. You could probably take his jab. One jab, maybe.
Oh, in the nose.
Uppercut, there's no chance.
No, none of us could take anything from someone like that.
I don't know. Jimmy, so who would you fight? Is there someone that you'd love to step in the ring with?
Oh, if I could pick anybody, who do I hate?
Amy Walsh?
Yeah,
Amy kick his ass.
Amy would kick. I think she'd kick all their asses. Actually,
Amy Walsh is the one fighter that I would be intimidated to get into the ring with because I know that she would come impregnable and incredulous and come at me hard because she can duck and she can dive. And my name is Mike Tyson. But Amy Walsh is the one woman that I know that she would come back at me with just power punches just back and forth and take me down to Chinatown. And it would be against my will, but I would be in the ground with Customato, but maybe that's what I need to be because, you know, I don't know. Cause I'm Mike Tyson. I'm so high now. I don't understand. But... Thank you for being with us,
Mike.
I think you broke it down perfectly too, Mike, how Amy would approach that bout
because she's one of five. She's one of five fighters, aka five celebrities, aka five siblings who she probably took shots from all of them growing up, and so she could take punches that I could never give her, you know. And so that's why Amy Walsh is the ultimate fighting champion challenge winner, and the movie The Hangover 4. It's not me. It's Amy Walsh, and she's there, and she's fighting, and she's winning. Amy Walsh, thank you. Rest in peace.
Dubs also has that ginger rage. She just wouldn't stop.
Oh, she hates being on ginger, eh? Would you call her a ginger?
Jimmy's got the rage. Jimmy, back to your question. Anyone you want to fight? You can think of Wonga, you two, anyone else jump in there who you want
to
fight?
You don't have to hate them, Jimmy. Just somebody you want to like.
Okay, before Jimmy goes, because he's taking a while, Boris Johnston. I would love to have a fight with him. He's about the same age. I don't know. Just needs. He looks like he's one of those guys who needs a punch.
No, you're right.
Never been punched. He was a bully. I was reading his background. Mm-hmm. Bullies need a punch.
He would just crumble as well. It'd be just a melted freaking ice cream with a strawberry ripple through it.
Joe Biden, just because I know I might win.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump would be fun. Just beat the shit out of him.
What about Trudeau?
Would you tell him? He fights though, right? He's actually been in celebrity fights before. Yeah.
Patrick Brazzo. He fought Patrick Brazzo, the senator.
Was that who it was? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Trudeau would be fun to throw a few lefts at, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just a couple
or
of
that
jobs.
Pierre PP guy. Fucking what the fuck is
you
that?
Know, I think politicians about? In general, right? You're right.
Any politician.
Scumbags, man. What do you get involved in politics for? I mean,
that's the problem.
It's for service to your state.
Right? Now it's to make money.
Yeah.
True. Help your buddies out.
Yeah. God, it's disgusting. Disgusting. Anyway, football. Let's get there, shall we?
Sure.
Carabao Cup. Manchester United back with a trophy, back with silverware, beating Newcastle in the end, in a match that actually was quite enjoyable, I thought. And it did feel, Craig, had that big match feel to it, didn't it? You know, for this tournament, which has been quite maligned in forever, really. It did feel proper. And I tell you, Wembley looked incredible. The United fans and the Newcastle fans in particular came out in droves, and it was quite the spectacle, wasn't it?
Oh, I thought it was excellent, yeah. I think there's the fact because Newcastle were in it. And, well, Manchester hadn't won a trophy in, 6 years or something, so.
Yeah.
It's been a while. But, yeah, Newcastle, their last trophy with 1969 Intercity Fairs Cup or something. So, you know. And then also my ex-coach with Canada, Jimmy as well, Alan Arrington.
Friend of the show?
Friend of our show, yeah. Been in Vancouver for like 45 years, and he still sounds like he's straight out of Newcastle. So he did the whole trip over to Newcastle, took the train down, was at the game. So they had a pretty good time and didn't finish the way they wanted it to. But we know that's coming. It's the start of something, you know. And obviously,
booze-free train, wasn't it, Craig? They didn't allow booze on the train?
Yeah, no booze on the train. He's like, oh, we're 8 beers deep.
You saw that? Yes, you sent that that video thing via Twitter. It was Sunderland were playing today as well. They're playing in Coventry, which is south of Wither, obviously, and then a bunch of fans obviously going down there for the day, right? And the Newcastle fans overtook them on the motorway.
Wasn't that brilliant? I mean,
you can just imagine it, can't you? It was brilliant.
It was just amazing. What they're just like giving them the all the Sunderland fans, you wanker, anyway, they're just battering each other. Ah, you guys are going to Coventry. We're going to Wembley.
We're going to Wembley.
We have a $620 billion slush fund. Hey.
Hey, Sunderland's a good team this year, by the way. They're moving the right direction again. But yeah, Newcastle, I thought, played pretty well. Had their chances, didn't they? They really did. De Gea made some big saves.
Yeah, they just didn't quite have enough, did they? Just not quite enough. Brilliant from United. Yeah, they look really, really good. Rashford, he's took a year off and got himself sorted out, basically. And he's amazing. He's given him a chance. He's banging him in. So good to see for United's point of view. And then Newcastle, obviously disappointed. But, yeah, they feel as though they're moving in the right direction. So it's good to see for Newcastle fans. They'll be back.
Yeah, it's great to see Man United, though, back.
Is it?
Right? Yeah, it's good. I mean, we always talk about United being the monster club, the big club in England. And I mean, look, everybody was writing them off at the beginning of the season. And look at where they are right now, winning a trophy as well. They're creeping up on Arsenal and Man City, you know, chomping at their heels. So who knows how they're going to finish at the end of the season. Might be even a chance for them to sneak in there. But, you know, it's Ten Hag, he's done a great job. And I think we all know one of the reasons. I mean, remember when the whole Ronaldo thing, he obviously knew that he had to get rid of him, and he brought the right players in. They're playing good football right now. There's a buzz around the club again.
Casemiro was brilliant again, wasn't he? This guy.
Apparently he said as well, after the match, he said, the celebration's only for the coaching staff. And then he goes, the players got to focus on West Ham, their next match, too important. So no champagne for them.
Well, it's midweek, right? It's midweek action this coming up. Casemiro has played in 14 major finals, and he's won 13 of them.
Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, when you play for Real Madrid in Brazil, that's kind of, I guess, what happens, right? But still, well, it means you're good. Yeah. I mean, he's just incredible, isn't he? Just that everything does so well. What a signing he's been. And in the end, I think when it first happened, lots of people kind of questioned us. A lot of money for a guy that's a little bit old. And all he did at Real Madrid was pass the ball 4 yards, right, to Modric. That's kind of his job. Well, turns out he's a bit better than just that.
Yeah.
He can do a lot more. He was shackled at Real Madrid. Now we're seeing the real Casemiro.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, when he came to England, nobody really knew how he was going to settle in and perform, did they?
No.
And he actually came out and said, he goes, I don't want to underestimate La Liga, he says, but the games in England are much more difficult than what they are in Spain. So, well, I mean, he's adjusting well.
The pace of the game, Jimmy, yeah. I think, you know, it's like incredible, eh?
100%. But then it's every single match, though.
Every game,
yeah. Every game is a tough one. You know, yeah. In certain leagues, the bottom teams are middle table, a bit easier than what they are in the Premier League. So for him, world-class player to come out and say, hey, this league is ridiculous, goes to show you. And good for him for settling in. Because a lot of times these guys come over, they take a little bit of time to settle down, but right away this guy got right into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw Harry Maguire come on for the last few minutes too. So he got his mitts on the trophy at the end there. But yeah, it's an interesting story. Give Ten Hag credit, right? Give him a lot of credit. He comes aboard. It was a dreadful start. The first month of the season, is it the right hire? It's all going down the crapper, and he's turned it around. And his post-game comments are really interesting, right? Other than saying that the players have no time to celebrate, he's saying, listen, we're going to get this team back to where it should be at the top. This is just a beginning of something really special. And if they do get bought by the Qataris or whoever it's going to be, they're going to have the funds to do just that, aren't they? And they're not far off right now.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just see United right now. So good team, won the Carabao Cup. They're third in the league. They're in the title race. They got Marcus Rashford, one of the best informed players in the world. And they could splash 200 mil this summer, maybe, on reinforcements, new players. It's a bit frightening, isn't it? The gap just widens.
Well, that's it. It's just, yeah. You know, the local guy that owns the car dealership isn't the owners of these clubs anymore.
No, it's not. So sure,
when you're throwing 200 mil out, is that just because they can? Because the owners can throw 200 mil out? Well, or is it because the balloon, like Craig always talks about, hey, you make more money because of the broadcast rights and all that kind of stuff. You make more money when you hit the Champions League, more money for winning Carabao Cup, more all these different things, right? Mm-hmm. Is that where you're getting this 200 mil?
I just threw an arbitrary number out there. It could be more than that. It's not. No, what does that team need? They need a striker. Maybe. Well, maybe Rashford's that guy, but I think they'll get a striker as well. And that's going to cost you north of 100 if they're going to get Osimhen or whoever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. But yes, to answer your question, Wonger, that it is true. That is right. It's all those factors because, again, there's supposed to be a financial fair play, which Man City are dealing with right now. So there's a limit to what you can lose. I think it's 50 million or something a year or something like that. It's significant, but they have to be careful. But they generate a lot of money in Manchester
United. Yeah, commercially, right? Sure. Commercially, they make the most of any club, I think. So from financial fair play, they can always find a way to buy a nice new shiny striker.
Who do you think they would go after?
I mean, Osimhen is a big rumor, right? From Napoli, who would be a great, great signing. Harry Kane is being linked there before. You know, he's the ready-made product, right? I can see them going for Kane. And I think Kane, we've discussed him before, right? But if he's going to move from Spurs, I can see him staying in England because he wants Shearer's record and he's going to get it. So that I can see him being a fit there. I mean, it's still kind of, if Xavi is in China and envisage Harry Kane in the red of United, it looks weird, but I can see that being the case. Who do you think? Who do you think the target is?
I could see Kane. I could see them going after somebody like that. Proven goal scorer in the Premier League. And, you know, he's got a great character as well. You know, you're not going to get any problems with him. And then on the other side, with PSG, there's rumors that they're talking about one of the three are going.
And if you're Qatar, Neymar, making a splash.
Yeah, whether it's Neymar and Mbappe or Messi.
You know, so which one? That's interesting. Let's talk about Neymar then, shall we? I think we mentioned him in recent podcasts. We know what he can do, right? But he's also the wrong side of 30 now. He also has a lot of baggage. Could be a pain in the ass. Brilliant footballer. But if you're going to go for a Harry Kane or a Neymar, Neymar's a better player than Harry Kane, right, in his career. Neymar is, it could be argued with different players, but you could say Neymar's better than Kane overall. But who would you rather have play for your team, a Harry Kane or a Neymar at this point? Say they're both available.
At this point right now, I would take Kane.
Would you?
Yeah,
I would too. I would too, just because of all the factors you just mentioned about, especially his character.
Yeah. But if there's an opportunity to get Mbappe, I'd go after him.
Yeah. Well, he's got to leave PSG, hasn't he? Hasn't he? He's scored two more today, I think, didn't he?
Yeah. He's got to
more than that.
Qataris are paying him whatever he wants.
Yeah. I actually made some money on that game today. So PSG beat Marseille 3-0. I got this weird parlay. It was so PSG to win, more than 1.5 goals in the match, Messi to score, and Mbappe to assist. And I put $2 on it. I won $25.
Oh, look at you.
Hey, now. I said, why did I put $100 on that? Why? Why did
I? It's a big night out for you and the Messi.
Yeah, you'll lose when you do that. Celtic won the League Cup final in Scotland, if anybody's big on that.
Was that 2-0 final?
2-1.
2-1.
Over Rangers, Alistair Johnston with his first trophy in Europe.
Yeah, go on, Celtic.
In Europe? Oh, yeah, in Europe, yeah. Well, yeah.
Counts.
Yeah, I guess.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Like geographically in Europe, under the UEFA umbrella.
Yeah. Tell you what, if you're a coach or a player, I mean, going to Rangers or going to Rangers or Celtic, everything looks good. Even their coach there, what's the name, Beal or whatever. He coach a QPR a bit or something? And then he was gone to the Rangers and he was unbeaten in 13 games or something? But,
yeah, he was Gerard's right-hand man, right? Mm-hmm. And then he went to QPR and did a decent job there. And then the chance to go to Rangers. I mean, it's a big club, right? The league you can question, but you're going to be in the contention for trophies every year. Like I say, it's not a bad gig, is it? Could be worse.
No, put you in the shop window. You have lots of managers get moved from there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's fun wherever you are winning, you know.
For sure it is.
Yeah.
But imagine the players as well. Big game, Old Firm, win a cup. And then Wednesday night, you're at Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
I guess it might be a lovely town. I don't know. Yeah. Where is Partick Thistle? Is Partick a town or is it part of...
It's an area in Glasgow.
Is it Glasgow, is it?
Yeah. I went back to go see my uncles, and this was a couple of years ago with my brothers, my parents, and we went. I actually went to Partick Thistle and watched the match. And I think I would rather have watched my son's U15 boys on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock play. It was rotten football. Rotten. Like, they might as well take central midfielders and just take them out of the game.
Just lobbing
it. We will have defenders and strikers. That's it. No need for a center midfielder. It was brutal. Great pies, though. The pies were fantastic.
Good pies, good pint, I'm sure, there, right?
Yeah.
Good little atmosphere. Yeah. So any Partick Thistle fans out there, let us know, will you? I'm curious. Explain to us why you live in Glasgow or thereabouts and you choose to support Partick Thistle as opposed to one of the other two. Why?
Good on them.
Yeah. You're supporting your local club.
Yeah, but if you're living in Glasgow, though, you've got options. Maybe that stadium's closer to you than
sure, Ibrox. That's not how it works. Not like you. So you're nowhere near Liverpool.
Loyalty, Sharms. Loyalty.
He's a Southern Red.
Well, that's what they're saying. There was 36,000 fans at the game supporting Man United that lived 20 kilometers away in Surrey.
Yeah. I saw some interview on Sky or somewhere, TalkSport before the match. Some old fella, white-haired fella, and he was crying talking about Casemiro and how good he was. He was literally crying, but he had this strong East London accent.
Yeah.
Oh, he's passing the ball so well. He's around the field.
Yeah, that gives it away. Out.
It's funny. Prem was interesting this weekend. Chelsea lost again to Spurs, 2-0. Chelsea, 83 shots in their last six games, and they've got one goal.
Do you know what they need to do, Charms? They need to spend some money. Buy some players.
Seriously, right? Holy crap, man.
I think there's nobody has spent as much money as this guy has ever in the history of football. Like,
how is this even possible? Honestly.
Six goals in 2023. Six goals. It's worse than all of the Premier League. And they got Aubameyang sitting there doing nothing. Maybe it's time to use him more often. So what do you think he's done? What do you think Aubameyang's done? I think he came off the bench today, right? What has he done to be out of favor so much at Chelsea when all they need, you think, on paper is an actual number nine, right? A typical striker, goal-scoring forward. They got everything else, but he can't get in the team on a regular basis. What has he done to Graham Potter?
He must be absolutely crap in training.
Oh, something's up.
I don't get it.
Has to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you think, you know, when you're sitting with the coaching staff, you know, and they're all together, like, does somebody not say, we have to play this guy, whether you like him or not, we have to play. We've scored, what, 23 goals?
Six goals in 2023.
No,
six
but for goals. For the season so far.
No? Is that what it is, 23?
I think it's rough, 23 goals that they've scored.
Okay.
Right? And whether you like the guy or not, or he's offended you, or he's pissed you off, you need goals. You're not going to love everybody, are you? I mean,
is your job on the line at this point? Wouldn't it be?
Exactly. Well, you're going to be stubborn enough that you're going, oh, can't play him. I don't like his attitude. I don't like him. Fuck that. You need to win.
Does Graham Potter, is he married?
Yes.
I think so.
Do you think Aubameyang and Graham Potter's missus?
Oh, don't like start that. Graham Potter's all over the place. He's been getting it. Like he said, his mental health has struggled. His kids are getting at school. Like, yeah, it's brutal for them. Like, I feel sorry for them. He doesn't deserve that.
No, he doesn't deserve that.
You know,
geez, that joke really didn't fly, did it?
Yeah, way to go, Wonger.
Yeah, thanks for
Steve
that,
Wonger. Sanchez.
Steve Chang.
Oh, Sanchez. Chang.
Dirty Sanchez.
Dirty Sanchez. It's
the Dirty Sanchez.
We're talking about this guy, right? He's busting his ass off, going through a difficult time, one of the worst you can ever have in your life as a human being, right? Mm-hmm. And you're talking about a striker banging his wife? What the fuck?
Seriously. That's all he needs.
I'm in Canada. No one's listening to me. Come on.
If it was a defender, okay. I guess you could see it, right? But it's a striker? And
Kepa can't save stamps either.
Where are we?
Kepa's got to be better.
You think Kepa's an issue too?
I don't, you know, there's something, I don't know. It's just, well, he should have saved that today. I mean, I know he was a little bit screened a little bit, but he's got to save that. Got enough hand on it that he's got to put that over the bar.
Well, even the Harry Kane goal, right? I mean, at the back post, I mean, defending was just appalling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Leaving Harry Kane that wide open. I mean, I don't know. You could have also, I guess, I saw Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was talking about it post-match with, I think it was Matthew Upson, actually. They're both disagreeing, actually, with each other. Hasselbank saying, oh, it's a zonal system, and that's why. And they should have pushed up to get him offside. And Upson disagreed with him vehemently. I don't know if you guys have any idea about that or whether you're kind of boring. Who cares? I'll move on.
So what was Upson saying then?
Upson was saying he couldn't disagree with him more. It wasn't down to zonal. At that point, it was man to man. I couldn't even make head or tail of it, but it was a pretty good argument at the time.
Yeah.
It was decent. But still, Chelsea lose again. I did enjoy the comments from Potter, though, post-match, saying, I've just been watching All or Nothing, the Arsenal series, and Arteta was like that close to being fired 2 years in. And now look at him.
Is that what he said?
And he goes, look at Jurgen. Oh. Jurgen, like, people are saying now they should fire him. And like, that's crazy. He's like,
oh, he's holding on now, isn't he?
That won't go down with the fan base, will it?
No.
But
it's like what we said before. Look, if you fire him and you bring somebody else in, what's the point?
You're inheriting all the same stuff, really.
I mean, the same shit.
He can't score the goals, right?
You're not going to get into a Champions League spot now.
They're getting chances too, right? It's not like, I mean, I don't think the team's badly coached. They just can't score goals.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's not really him. So if what's true, if what they say is true, that they have patience and they are fully behind him, I like that. Give the guy a chance. You know, I think you have to do that, but we'll see. All right, so we get to the big one, Wonga? Actually, we should probably get to the big one. Been kind of holding off here.
Before you go there, Sharms, at the end of the first half, did you see Ziyech got a red card? He was shown a red card, and basically VAR told him, to show a red card, I guess. And then he went over to the monitor after the fact, came back, waved the red card away, and gave a yellow.
Oh, no, downgrade.
He downgraded. I've never seen that, actually. And I actually thought it was probably right, but he did, you know, go for a nice smack his face. So there was some of that, but he's also got rallied pretty hard from behind before that. So I overall, I thought it was a brave decision. I had no problems with it, but it was a bit strange. He could have gone over to the monitor first before he made a decision on what card.
Yeah, that's true.
But it looked as though he overruled the VAR official.
The VAR said it was a red card. He goes, no, it's a yellow card.
Yeah, and he wasn't sure, and he went to the monitor, yeah. Oh, yeah, interesting.
Remember the days before VAR when we didn't have this kind of theater? How do we even enjoy the games? You know, it adds so much, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, just awful.
It's just, there's some suspense now in the match.
Thank you.
Yeah, that Man U first goal. Yeah, that Man U first goal was close.
Is it? It's like a double celebration, isn't it?
Yeah,
they celebrate, and then they're going, oh, it's VAR. Oh, the suspense. And then they go, it's a goal, and yeah.
And all the Newcastle fans are thinking, come on, please be offside, please be offside.
I like the suspense. I do.
It's true, right? You get to enjoy it twice. It's brilliant, yeah, right?
There you go.
T-shirt. Yeah. Never had it before. But you just celebrate a goal once.
But the VAR has, you know, has its worth as well. I mean, when you looked at the Arsenal Leicester match, when the player's holding the keeper's hand, and he couldn't, did you see that?
Yeah, the Trossard goal, right?
Yeah, when he's holding the keeper's hand, and he's holding it perfectly. Like, nobody would have saw that, but VAR, because they had the camera behind the goal. And the keeper's gone out, punched it with one hand, but his other hand's tied up with the Arsenal player.
But isn't that part of the game, though, Jimmy? That's always all the tussling in the box, you know, the dark arts. It's kind of been part of it forever.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to really just get rid of that stuff entirely? You know, Blazing cheating.
Quick grab of my fucking arms.
yeah, but you do.
Well, it is cheating as well, right? You know, I've had players as well where, you know, I'll be marking them, getting really, really close, and then they'll hook my arm and tie it in close to them, and then they'll fall. And because naturally my arm's tucked in, I end up falling on top of them. So it looks like I've committed the foul.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I get a penalty called against me, and I'm trying to explain. Like, he's got my arm tucked in, and he's rolled me. And the ref's like, oh, no, you fouled him. And then your manager's pissed off. But at least with VAR, it protects those situations where they actually see it. So, for instance, you know, when that ball's come into the box and the keeper's gone up, he's swapping at it, like just trying to make some kind of contact. But nobody could tell that his arm's trapped. Right?
Cheating is wrong, I suppose. And maybe that's what happened with Aubameyang and Potter's misses. Maybe VAR discovered it. Flagged it.
Fuck. He was offside.
Thanks, Sharps. Thanks for bringing it all the way back for me. I appreciate that.
So, Graham, we want to step into the office here. We found some video.
Yeah. Might do him a favor.
Craig, maybe. Craig's not feeling too sorry for him now. He's going to pile on to the joke, isn't he? Yeah.
All right, let's get to the big one now. West Ham 4.
Why?
Nottingham Forest.
Forest versus Forest.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was coming, though, wasn't it? Oh, honestly, God. I actually didn't know if it was coming because going by the first game, when they played in Nottingham, hit the post a couple times, missed a penalty, lost 1-0. I thought, uh-oh. And then Brennan Johnson, he gets a couple runs late, and I was like, oh, here, they're going to nick this one too. And then if I had started raining goals, like, unbelievable. I scored 3 goals in about 7 minutes and 15 seconds. And
that's right.
They couldn't stop scoring. Fuck.
No, floodgates open and wheels fell off. After that, once they hit 70th minute, that was it. It was lights out. I couldn't believe how quick they scored as well.
Oof.
2 back-to-back, and then the third one, what? They scored in the 70th minute, 73rd, and then 78th.
7 minutes apart, all 3 goals, yeah.
Brutal.
It's like a four-point
game.
It's the yellow kits.
Yeah, need to get rid of that.
Not a big fan of that?
The yellow? Nah. I mean, over the years, yeah, they've always kind of had a yellow and blue throughout the years. But
it's a third kit, right? Yeah, everybody has like a third kit.
Yeah, they got a third one.
Was it ever a thing you gave it you cared about when the kits came out each year? Were you like excited? Ooh, what are we wearing this year? Different for a goalkeeper, I suppose, Craig. But
no, yeah. What are you kidding me? You should. You don't know what they're going to throw at you as a goalkeeper. Could well look what behind me here. That
is hideous.
That's right. A day after paintball.
Is that yours?
Yeah,
you wore that. That wasn't like given to you by some special needs art class.
Saved a penalty Azteca in this shirt.
What year was that?
Turn it around.
I don't know. 2000.
Is it a motif? Are they players? I can't make it out. Or is it just like on the other side? Is it just like spatter pattern? Or are they players like all kind of?
Yeah, it's like Walt Disney threw up.
Look how small the badges.
When you saw that for the first time, what did you think?
What do you think? It was score, right? It's score as well.
Oh, is it score?
Oh, yeah.
You can see how heavy it is.
It's not on the wire hanger.
Don't go into any open flame, Craig.
This will be around in 1,000 years. It would look exactly the same.
Okay, we have to get a picture of that for for this podcast, right? So people know what we're talking about. Maybe he has the picture. When we post the pod on,
we can do that.
Right. So maybe Craig says a quick snap of it over. Yeah. And then you will then put that on the post.
On the Twitter.
Yeah.
And you know who else could do this that he's been hiding his skills for the last year is our Jimmy Brennan is a graphic artist.
It's incredible.
And he's like, hey, why don't I start doing some Instagram stuff? Oh, that'd be great, Jimmy.
He's
killing it.
I couldn't believe it because I was like, well, he hasn't figured Twitter out yet, but that's putting sentences together. So this is much easier.
Is he doing Insta as well?
That Twitter stuff.
The Twitter just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, look
it
at
still
this.
Doesn't. Hi, how are you? At so-and-so, at this, at that. Fuck me. Come on.
Don't you do that on Instagram too? Hashtags?
Yeah. Hashtags at this. Come on. Wow. I get it now. I understand how it works. But when I first started Twitter, I was like, what is happening here? Brutal.
Jimmy Brennan Bewildered is a sight to see. It's really fun.
Do you like Jimmy? Do you like Bewildered Jimmy?
I think he's hilarious. He makes me smile. Because he doesn't, he's full given up. Unlike Bewildered Craig, who's frustrated. Like there's a real, Craig just gets frustrated, right? Bewildered Jimmy is, I'm just going to drink a beer. There's no point.
It's a different approach. It doesn't make sense.
I love that word.
At so-and-so, hashtag this. Hashtag. Fuck off with hashtags. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I just really don't understand.
I think hashtags are really overrated. I think they're kind of dying out, hashtags. You don't need them anymore as much.
So then why are you telling me to hashtag?
I'm not.
Well... Wonger does.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I just think we have to do it.
You tell me hashtag, and now you tell me I don't need the hashtag, and I'm trying to figure a hashtag out.
I think you do. I think you want to get into the cycle of other people knowing what you're talking about. That's why you do it.
You only tweet once a month anyway.
I've gotten better. I've gotten better. I was terrible at one point.
Bewildered Jimmy. I love it.
Jimmy. To happy Jimmy, bewildered Jimmy.
But yeah, no, I was really impressed. You did some graphic design for us. I was like, holy shit, where did that... Do you use Photoshop for that? What do you use?
No, but I use all sorts of stuff. I'm actually... And I'm not really one to brag, Sharms, as you know.
I'll beat you at this. I'll beat you at that. I'll do more push-ups.
I'll not lose. But I'm not bad in the computer.
You're not bad.
You're not bad on the computer. Yeah. I think that might suggest that you are very bad with the computer, actually. I'm not bad with the computer.
That's a subtle way to say I'm actually really good on the computer.
Who's that? There's which is the women's player who's also an artist? She's got she's had some of her stuff exhibited in galleries. It may have been gold. Not it wasn't.
What country to start with?
Maybe Canadian. Canadian woman. Canadian. Yeah, yeah. Right. Anyway, she's apparently a great artist. So, like the woman's side, now Jimmy Brennan is a great graphic designer. Things you didn't know about our legends of the game in this country.
Are you not thinking of Issy?
Who?
Issy. He used to play for the Canadian national team. He's an artist. You got to see his drawings.
Really? Issy? Oh,
unbelievable.
Where would I find those?
You just go onto his Instagram. Hashtag Issy.
Issy Nakajima?
Not hashtag pissy, because that would be something very different will come up.
No, you got to see his style. The guy is so creative, man. It's unbelievable. I think he lives on a boat now.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he Nakajima? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Really?
Unbelievable.
Lives in a boat?
We need to get him on. Yeah.
Below deck? Is he on a super yacht?
Yeah, I'm really liking him at the moment. Yeah,
he's renting the basement of the boat because he can't make enough money as an artist.
he's a starving artist.
Footballer.
And you know what? He's one of the nicest guys you'll meet.
He is a super nice guy.
Great guy. I love
him. Is he Nakajima Ferran? Right, that just snapped in my ear. Yeah, okay.
That's right.
All right, well, let's get him on the show. That'd be interesting. I want to hear about this and see his artwork. I like some
He doesn't have a phone in the boat.
Is he off the grid? One of them.
He's living life, man.
Yeah.
Living life. I like it. Even when he played for Pacific, I think he lived on a boat.
Oh. Yeah. I can't believe you've done a great job there, Jimmy. We've completely gone away from Forest against West Ham.
You had to bring that back, didn't you? I was just trying to steer you so far away from that.
Forest are going to stay up on their home form.
Thank you very much.
Because they can't win away.
At the beginning of the season, you said they were going down.
Yeah,
I think that was before.
2 months ago, you said they're still going down.
I still think they're going down.
Well, you're such a liar. You just said they're staying up.
They're on 25 points. They're 4 points from safety. Sorry, 4 points from the drop zone.
West Ham? They catapulted up, even just that 3 points, eh?
West Ham have soared to a lofty 16th.
They're 2 points above relegation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tight down there.
It is very tight down there, for sure.
It's not
tight like Wonger's pants. Tiger tight.
Tiger.
I used to have, I have many tigers in my career.
Hey, Mike.
I've had so many tigers.
Hey, welcome back.
I'll tell you, at one point when I lost my house in Vegas, I had to take one of my tigers to live with me in a bachelor apartment above a Chinese restaurant and below another Chinese restaurant. But I will tell you that it worked out quite well, because when they threw out all the Chinese food, the tiger had something to eat instead of my nemesis.
Hey, have you guys listened to Tyson's his podcast, Hot Boxing? It's great, right, JC?
So good.
He's such an interesting dude.
He's such a prolific guy. Like, he's such a well-read individual. He's not he's actually, he's very well-spoken.
Can be really well-spoken. Yeah. But I know what you're saying, though.
It's such a juxtaposition seeing him as being seen as such an uneducated individual, but he's so educated, and it's very interesting. But then he also will go on tangents, and depending on who his guests are, he sort of gravitates towards the way that they act, but it's remarkable. I've never seen an individual like him. I'm very impressed by the way that Mike Tyson has turned himself into this enigma of a human being.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, actually. It's precisely what he is.
Do you think the shrooms have helped in any way and just opened up a certain part of his brain?
Well, I don't know about you, Jimmy, but I tell you what they've done for me in the past. We'll be right back.
On his most recent podcast, he's talking to The Undertaker. Going back to WWE for a second here, The Undertaker is going on like a North American one-man show tour, not like in like character as the actual dude. Apparently, it's some incredible stories from that world, which is something else.
What's the crazy thing about The Undertaker? His first name is Steve, but his last name is actually Undertaker.
Undertaker.
That is really weird.
Thank you. Every once in a while, you need a weird one.
Arsenal 1, Leicester 0, Bournemouth 1, Man City 4, Liverpool 0, Crystal Palace 0. Jesus Christ. Leeds 1, Southampton.
We're not even talking about Haaland anymore, because he just keeps. Yeah.
27 goals, a record for Man City in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not scoring them like he was, but he's still going to hit what? Well, he's going to break the record of 34. He's going to smash that.
Yeah.
Can he still get a 40, do you think? Probably.
Every chance.
Yeah, when he plays one of those lower seeded teams, he can pop a hat trick easily.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the schism between the two, like that top tier and the bottom tier. It's just like a 4-1, a 4-0, just like they did this weekend. It's crazy.
And then there's a gap, Wonger, between the bottom of the Premier League and the sort of fourth and down in the championship, the division below. There's just that real gap, right? Norwich bouncing back and forth in that no man's land, you know?
Yeah, that's cool, though. I really think that's neat, this whole relegation thing.
Will Villa beat Everton 2-0? Everton still very much in that drop zone. Ollie Watkins has scored in 5 straight games. Could get a call up to England, I would think, pretty soon. He's playing well. Villa's a weird team. Really good 1 week, really bad the next. We're running out of time here. We had to get to, of course, Major League Soccer. MLS, what a weekend for Canadian teams, Greg.
Good start. Good start. I mean, they're all away, and, you know, Montreal deserved a different fate, probably a better fate than they got. But I think they're starting the season 5 games on the road of the first 6 or something. So that could be – that's a difficult thing for some Canadian teams. I remember when the stadium wasn't ready in 2007 when Toronto FC and Jimmy and all the guys were – I think it was 5 or 6 on the bounce, wasn't it, Jimmy, away or something?
Yeah, no, we did. We had a lot of games on the road simply because of the fact as well was because of the weather.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We didn't have undersoil heating and all that kind of stuff and obviously the safety of the stands. And so, yeah, we used to have a lot of away games at the beginning of the season, which sucked because it just really kind of puts you behind the eight ball, doesn't it?
Remember the company line? I remember having Mo on the Footy Show all the time back in those days. And he'd say, yeah, we're on the road to start the season, but it's a great way for the boys to build some chemistry. It's really good for us. And then lost the first 6 games.
I know. He also said, I think Jimmy was the only signing. He might have been sitting next to him, Jimmy. It was like you and Mo, and we're talking about at the start of the season. And he's like, oh, yeah, we'll come back with points and goals. Had fucking no points and no goals.
Yeah, nothing.
Mo said a lot of things back in those days, didn't he, Craig? A lot of things. Saying Ronnie O'Brien was the best midfielder in MLS, and he was a good player.
But he was the best golfer. He was the best golfer we had.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Oh, what are you talking about? He was not. You were, Jimmy.
No, I'm telling you.
You beat him at golf.
Hey, Ronnie O'Brien was I think he's a golf pro now down in Texas.
Is he really? He's a nice guy, Ronnie.
He used to come in to training, and I'm not joking, with his golf shoes on, golf pants, everything, dressed, ready to go right after training to the golf course.
Nice.
He's like the American Gareth Bale.
Yeah, he loved it. Talked about it all the time, and I was like,
fuck. No wonder he didn't have any goals or points.
Oh, man. You should see him golf, though.
Craig, you're a good golfer. Could you be a golf pro?
Could you? Not a chance.
No? You're not that good?
No.
They can't all be that good, though. I'm not saying being a pro golfer, but a club, a golf pro. They're not all going to be.
Do you know when you can start the seniors tour when you're 50? I'm 55.
What I'm saying though is like a golf pro at a club, right? So you're just out there to help teach people, give them tips, that kind of stuff. Isn't that what golf pro does at a club?
Oh, you mean like a golf pro, like a club pro? Yeah,
that's not like a golf. I'm not saying go and play in the Masters. I'm saying like, could you like be hired by a club to kind of hang out and just, you know, schmooze and give some tips? Isn't that what they do, club pros, basically?
Well, I could easily do that, but if you wanted to give me a pro, you have to go do a course and go through all this and learn some management and stuff like that. And then you also have to shoot a certain score. Back when I was in England, if you wanted to be a club pro, you had to be a scratch golfer and you had to do that over 2 rounds.
Oh, wow, really?
That was what it was like in Canada too, because it's RCGA, Royal Canadian,
yeah,
based on the Royal, the English model. Royal and you had to do over the 2-day, 2 rounds, you had to do 2 pars, like at least.
Yeah. Not par. Now.
Not now.
Not now. If now, you right? shoot something like, I don't know, 8 or 9, 10 over in 2 rounds, you can now get it because there's a shortage of people going into that profession because it's just so hard to get into and it's a grind and it's hard to get opportunities. So they've made it easier for people to get into it because there's just a shortage of them right now.
We should do it.
So I have a chance.
Yeah. Jimmy, you have a chance for sure.
Do it. Both of you. Like, why wouldn't you? What a That's nice golf. Little life that is. Nice little gig. You love playing golf. You love the whole golf vibe. Why don't you?
I would, but I would like to have a job sort of tied up beforehand. And, you know, look at Jimmy and his coaching license. That's like a 30, 40 grand, you know, pro license, and you get near UEFA. And for what? Like,
for what? Honestly, I could have been a doctor.
Could have been Dr. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I suppose. I want to get some lessons. I got clubs now. My buddy gave me some clubs. I haven't got a bag. He gave me the clubs. I've got to get a bag. But so this summer I'm playing golf, decided.
How old are the clubs?
No, they're nice clubs. How old are they? I don't know. Not that old. They're decent clubs. They're Callaways.
If they're like 10 years or older or something like that, I would suggest you get new ones just because of the technology is.
No, I'm Craig. I play once every 5 years. I'm awful, right? So this is my first summer really playing golf. Yeah. So these are fine. I'm not very good.
James, can I just say, James, I played when I was a bit younger and when I was in high school, and then I haven't played literally since high school. I'd be willing to hit the links with you.
I'd love to, JC. Let's do that.
I'd love to, too. I feel like you and I don't spend enough time together.
We don't.
Physically.
You know what? I need like more touch with JC. Right?
I'm going to come with you guys.
Oh.
I don't have golf etiquette.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Brennan is going to come.
He's going to join the threesome.
Where are you going to come,
Jimmy? Jimmy.
Where are your goggles, boys?
Jesus God almighty. Well, let's play golf then, JC and Jimmy. Let's do that. Yes. Craig's up for it. Sure.
No, I'm not. When you go with fours, because then depends how you get him. Because if you get him a serious mood and he's into it, then you can't mess around.
What about this?
Since when have I ever been serious around the
you
golf?
You were serious a couple times when I was.
No, only because I was hitting it straight. I was hitting it straight, and you were like, you're yelling in my backswing. He was farting and everything, trying to put me off. And he's like,
I got to do what I got to do to win.
Yeah, well, it wasn't working. And you're like, oh, you're so serious. I was like, why? Because I hit it straight?
No, and then you get mad because I was losing all my balls. And then by the 13th hole, my head was gone.
No, it was because you put one 50 yards over the trees out of bounds, and you went in there and went, I got it. Heads up, lads. And all of a sudden, he hits his shot like 200 yards perfectly out of like the toolies.
I threw it. Threw it out of there.
Yeah.
Well, listen, JC, let's me and you play first, because is it a lot more fun playing with someone that's also not very good to start with?
I won't be good. But
I'm like horrendous as well. I've got to find a couple of lessons somewhere, I think.
But there's five of us. So what if James and I became one? And then it became a foursome, but we were two people. And like one of us was on each other's shoulder or
No, you take the short like that. One of us is good at short the short game, one of us is good at driving.
Say, I'm used to using short.
then you can take all the shorts.
There you go.
Right, but it doesn't matter if you're good or not. The only thing that matters really is how fast you play. Like we play
short
play
and guys. Fast. We're perfect.
Times necessities.
Short and fast.
My wife's told me that speed and shortness are real top qualities in my golf bag,
so to speak.
I got a buddy that hits an average of 120, so it doesn't matter. Like
that's high,
but he's not slow.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. We'll get around the course. I'm on this beer is really good. It's a Saint Bernardus, but it's 8%, and it's really freaking hitting my head right now.
Nice.
8%.
I don't usually like beers more than 5. It's like you lose. But look at this thing. It's really nice.
It's true. You're right about that. I think that when beer gets too strong, it kind of loses a little bit of a.
It does.
It gets like it's like there's a shot of vodka in it.
This is really good. It's from Belgium. This beer. It's from Belgium. Saint Bernardus Prior 8 is what it's called. Little monk on there. See that?
Oh, I think those. I think those were like they were kind of the thing. Everybody was chasing after those for a while.
Oh, were they?
Like, yeah, they're like collectors. Like you're not supposed to.
Well, honestly, I found it in my fridge because I don't know where it came from. It's some people over last weekend.
It came from something at Sportsnet because they were in Belgium and they gave us all one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Maybe it's worth like thousands. I've just drunk it.
Yeah. Well, it was unless you opened it.
No, it's definitely opened. Yeah.
No, that's what happened.
I guess we don't care too much about the MLS opening weekend, do we?
Oso was getting, I just was doing a little Twitter on the social, and Oso was getting banged up a little bit for the last goal that went against DC United.
It was awful defending. The whole freaking, all the guys were awful.
It was bad. Look, brutal. I mean, TFC, you go 2-1 up, 83rd minute. Evan K scores. You got to see the game out then, don't you? You can't concede two goals in the 90th minute. Crazy. Especially on the road. And you're saying, you know, those first two games, you're away to DC, then you're away to Atlanta next, and then you're at home. So those two games, if you can come back with 4 points, you're in a good spot, right?
But they're winnable, Jimmy? They're both winnable or pointable or whatever you want to say.
DC, you expect to get something in that game. And then I watched the Vancouver game as well. You know, they were up 1-0. And I think it was, you know, they were cruising. They looked good. At times, comfortable. You know, I thought the way that they were pressing and, you know, the way that they break and on the counter, I thought they looked good. And then they concede two goals in the 73rd minute, and that was it. Game over. Mm-hmm. I like that Ryan Gold, by the way. I think he's a
good player, isn't he?
Oh, he's a terrific little player. I like watching him. He was good. And then obviously Montreal loses as well, so it's wasn't a great weekend for the Canadian teams, was it?
They lose Pantemis too.
That's a lot. And then Insignia. What's the word on Insignia?
It looked like his groin, didn't it?
They said lower leg, but it wasn't lower leg. He was grabbing higher up in his leg, right?
If he's grabbing his groin, that's the worst. That's a few weeks at least.
He just moved funny, though. But, I mean, to lose him after the 30th minute. And you think you go through all the preseason, all your friendlies, everything, and then 30 minutes in your first match, you end up holding something?
Hey, by the way, how gutted is he when he's looking at Napoli right now?
Jeez.
They're going to win this Serie A. They haven't won it since the 80s. 14 million bucks, but fuck. And he's from that area. He was born in Naples, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all gone.
He's Neapolitan, just like our screen.
Especially now watching Napoli, how good they're playing.
Do you think?
And then he comes off injured in his first match.
But tell me, as former athletes, like professional athletes, do you think he is happy for them? Haven't been there for so long, or is he really pissed off?
About his decision?
It's a bittersweet one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He'd be like, he's got to be just really disappointed.
But we were talking about this on the dark web, Wonger, you know, and saying, you know, imagine them with him. But the fact is that his immediate replacement, Kvaratskhelia, has been absolutely like one of the best players, not in just in the Serie A, but in European football. He's that good. The guy is incredible.
Maybe it's a little more bitter than sweet then.
Yeah.
You've been replaced.
It's like when Jimmy saw Southampton win the Premier League with Gareth Bale, right?
Exactly.
It's like, fuck, you know. Shouldn't be.
And he's probably on 25% of what Insigne's on.
Yeah, probably, right? Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. That's something else. Oh, yeah, Wonga, just to confirm, just to back you, pointable is very much a footballing term.
Oh, it is?
No, it's not.
All right. Fuck. Got my hopes up. I tried.
Anything else you want to get to?
No, I'm good.
And I will mention the U-20s. I watched, didn't know if you saw any of that. Or the U-17, rather, semifinal against the U.S. They ended up losing a couple, 2-0, but they did okay. They didn't really threaten a lot, but they worked really hard. And the goalkeeper, Alexander O'Brien, who came in for that game, had a solid performance, looked good. So they're going to the World Cup. It's in Peru, they hope, but that could be changed because of the political strife and what's going on there. So if that's the case, it could be in the United States. They said they would be ready to do it in about a month.
Mm.
Okay.
And I think the CSA executive board or whatever are going in front of parliament too, right? At some point
in March, which is
March is next week, right?
That's right. Yeah, no, they're being called up now. I'm not sure who's being subpoenaed, so to speak, to testify, but it could be players and it could be the brass at Canada Soccer. So
good, get it fucking sorted out.
Sorted out.
And if the CSA are like, if it. The reading is like, it looks as though like over the period of time that they spent exactly the same amount of money on the men and women, we'll lay it out on the table and then everybody's going to see it and we can let somebody say they're doing a good job or they're at least not
They're not doing anything illegal. We know that. That's not the case.
But. I'm with you. I mean, I'm just like, just put it out there, numbers, black and white. Just get out there for us because there's so much finger pointing right now.
What we do know is they're broke. They got no money. They got zero money. In fact, this U17 team trying to prepare, they'll be lucky to have one camp. They were hoping that they're going to get two. They'll be very lucky to have one camp. There's just no money. They're giving their jerseys back and they're all attracted. Like, it's just like, we are just, it's amateur hour. And the thing is, we can't really complain because the money's not there for everybody wants to go first class. Everybody wants to get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everyone wants everything. And they want the kids to raise the fight fees or their, you know, at the registration level. And everybody's trying to figure out where the money's going to come from.
We do need to stop making these comparisons to other countries and the states in particular, I think, because this is a different game entirely.
You can't, we cannot compare ourselves to the states.
They got they're over 100 million plus, you know, operational budget. Like we're like 20 million this year. We might go up a little bit, but the pandemic crushed them as well. So, you know, there was obviously private money involved in supporting the men's situation and also the men. The cost of the men was a lot higher because of they have to travel to Honduras and Costa Rica and the United States and Mexico. And the women, when they qualified, it was one tournament. So it was like
four games.
Four games in one place. So obviously there's going to be more money spent on the men.
But what I want to answer in that regard is, okay, that's fine. But where did that money come from in that case? Right.
Hmm.
It's $11 million, whatever it was, and the budget was higher for all these reasons, which makes sense. Okay, so where did that money come from if they're broke? That's all. I'll just answer that. And if it was private money, a lot of it, then that's fine. Just I think everyone needs to know that.
Well, I think that was basically their operationals, what they basically had. You know, they had like $11 million and three, but from 2016 and 2020, if you look over that period of time, from what it looks like from their in their financials is that is very, very close to spending each. And the CSA, quite honestly, like Jimmy, back in our day in the 90s and even the 80s, the CSA were aware and they didn't have money then either. And they would shut the men's program down. It's like, okay, guys, you guys are going away for, you know, a couple of years because we're trying to get the women and spend the money on them. And it's just, that's the way it kind of worked because they just didn't have the money. And meanwhile, the estates are preparing for U20 tournaments, spending months together and, you know, these massive programs and fantastic. And, you know, we're just hanging on like, you know, it's just so different. We live in a different world. And unfortunately, it is what it is. And we're not even close to being a footballing nation.
Well, these hearings may well be broadcast live on TV, which would be very interesting for everyone. It could be very public hearings. So it should be an interesting few weeks. All right, everyone. That's Footy Prime, the podcast. Fubo TV is where we watch all our games and why we give you such great in-depth insight into all these matches because we watch that streaming service 24/7 and we lay a lot of money through North Star Bets. And JC's throwing his fingers up at me right now. Oh, it's a money sign. Hey, JC, can you walk us out today in Iron Mike?
Let me just see if I can find him. I'd like to thank everyone for showing up today, the Footy Prime, the podcast, which I don't understand because I'm not really a football fan, but I would like to thank Gregory Forrest for coming and being such a tall tree. I'd like to thank Jimmy Brennan for just having the most creative curse words, that more cursing than I've ever had in my life. I'd like to thank James Sharma for barely being visible because of your camouflage hat and your inability to golf. And also Dan Wong for being standing there with the shadows behind you with the big shiny light in front of you. And I would like to post this picture of Dan because he looks like a ghost. It's very remarkable. The Footy Prime the podcast is brought to you by North Star Bets, as well as Fubo TV, as well as Evander Holyfield's ear. If you feel like hungry on a day like today, please pick up a bag of Evander Holyfield's crunchy ears. Yeah, they're not actually made of his ears, but he does endorse them, and we do share in the profits. So thank you so much for joining us today. And Amy Walsh, I expect your challenge, and I don't expect to win, but I hope that you and I can have a fight one day, or perhaps just a conversation. Cheers for listening, and keep buying newspapers.
Amazing. Amazing. That was great.
Join the conversation on Twitter. Help us fill Wonger's mail sack at footy_prime. What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.